Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello and welcome to the Client Blue podcast for a mini preview show ahead of Lille this Thursday. I'm your host, Dan Rowlandson, joined by John Townley live from France. John, how are you, mate? Everything okay over there?
Yeah, a bit of a run around to get here, obviously. Three different trains and the weather's dreadful. Like, does that show anything?
It's quite grey. Yeah, it's raining bad, yeah.
Yeah, not good weather so far.
Sounds good, to be fair.
Yeah, so far it's not like I'm in France at all. I've just got a train here and it's raining heavily, so I may as well be in Barnsley or something. No, really looking forward to tomorrow and Thursday. Like, I get really excited about the European games, and the last one I went to, I was bed bound. So,
you're really unwell, weren't you?
Yeah, gonna make sure I enjoy this one.
Well, you say that you might as well be in Barnsley. You are definitely in France, John, for a little bit of insight for those that are not privy to the off-air recording. As soon as we joined the call, John said, hola. Oh, no, wait, that's not French. That's Spanish. It's bonjour, John. Who am I to take the mic when I'm wearing a shirt cut from the same cloth as those curtains behind you? I could have changed it, but I didn't for that little joke. Anyway, this podcast is sponsored by NordVPN. NordVPN, immensely useful for someone like yourself, John, and the many Villa fans that will be travelling across Europe this week to be able to protect your data whilst you're out and about using public Wi-Fi in hotels like you are doing now. Having a decent internet connection as well, by the way, which is obviously very useful for recording a podcast, but will allow you to, I'm explaining here for you, to log back on to Sky Sports, for example, or TNT Sports and watch the Champions League tomorrow night with a keen eye on Arsenal and Real Madrid, because you're over there, you know, probably quite early to be there Tuesday, wouldn't you, sir?
Yeah, Tuesday night. There's a press conference tomorrow morning for Lille, so I wanted to get here for that, and then Villa have press as well on, don't know exactly what time yet, but it will be, don't know, 5-6 o'clock UK time.
I've been off today, so knowing that we were going to do this, I put a little tweet out saying we're filming a Lille preview. What do you want to know? The first couple of questions were obviously about the game. Some were not about the game, so we're going to do a quick variety of both. We'll start with ones about the game from Dan.
About sport or football or Villa? About chimpanzees again?
Not chimpanzees, but food, weather, things like that. People like a bit of a flavour around the trip as much as just let's talk about football for 25 minutes. So, you know, I'd like to indulge that as well. We'll start with football-y ones first, though, from Dan and Matty. Dan just simply says, will we win? And Matty would like to know the score and says, John, if you could go to the future, find out the score, and whilst you're there, check if we finish fourth and win the Conference League so I can relieve a little bit of my stress. You cannot do that, sadly. But do you think we will win?
I think we will. I'm confident that we will. But that's because I'm confident we'll play well, if that makes sense. If we don't play well, we won't go through, because this Lille team are very decent. I did a quick video outside earlier and I said that one of the best teams to play at Villa Park this season. Like, on reflection, didn't quite think about it at the time, but I think they probably are.
Aston Villa's European tour continues out here in Lille. I'm on location. It's been battering it down with rain for the last 2 hours and winds of around 30 miles an hour have swept me around, but who cares? That doesn't matter. Villa are in a European quarter-final, one game away from a semi-final. They have a one-goal advantage, but this will be a big task for Emery's side on Thursday night, because for me, Lille were or are probably one of the most impressive teams to have played at Villa Park this season, actually. I didn't expect that. I thought they would have been more safe with their tactics, but they played the way that Fonseca wants them to, and you know, I think they have real respect from Villa fans for doing that. So we all know it's going to be a big challenge on Thursday night. Just a quick check-in for me, really. Tomorrow night, Emery, the squad will arrive in Lille, so Emery and the player will come up for media duties. So press conference tomorrow night, he'll give team news, answer questions from journalists, French and British journalists, and yeah, I'll probably go to the Paulo Fonseca presser as well. I think it's around midday tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what he says. Of course, his team didn't even play on the weekend. That will give Lille obviously a big advantage. Villa beating Arsenal would give them a big boost as well, but I think it's really important that there isn't like a hangover from that. Villa really need to keep that momentum going, because that will quickly sap if they are knocked out of Europe, on Thursday night. So yeah, the feel-good factor needs to continue, and I'm sure it will. I'm feeling confident about it. So yeah, we'll have updates across Birmingham Live tomorrow, of course, on match day as well, and on my X page.
I have big admiration for their coach and how he's set the team up. And clearly there's a very defined philosophy there. It's something that they've worked on for a while, and they've obviously been getting results from it as well. It's not just a kind of a Man United philosophy where they're trying to do something but are conceding 500 shots every few months. This Lille team are, you know, seriously good team. So, yeah. Villa would have to be on it. I think it was vitally important that they took a lead to Lille. Frustrating that we did concede that goal. So one goal is, it's a lead, but that goes just like that in one moment. But yeah, that was frustrating. But yeah, I'm happy just to take a lead in the end, because they're clearly a good team. And yeah, Villa will have to be on top of their game to progress.
How much of an impact do you think that Lille haven't played since last Thursday's game will have on this fixture that Villa obviously played and put a lot of effort into that Arsenal victory, and rightly so, that was massively important to us. But Lille didn't play the weekend before playing the first leg and haven't played since playing at Villa Park. Is that classic, isn't it? Are they going to be rusty because they've not played as much, or are they going to be fresher and have more energy?
They'll be fresher. I don't think it'll be a case of, you know, they're kind of out of rhythm and whatever. I think the atmosphere, and again, they're clearly a very well-defined team. I don't think they'll be lacking in terms of what they need to be doing on the pitch as such. But for Villa, we know that they have a good record after European games anyway. My concern is, in terms of the Villa side, is the games after this, because it almost feels like the Man City and Arsenal act of back in December, when we beat Man City and we were on such a high, and then we beat Arsenal and it was like, oh, we've done another, and then we kind of came down a bit. And you know, it wasn't a collapse by all means, but since then, the 4 weeks after that, should we say, there was a noticeable drop off, and that was to be expected, because you're not going to be playing at that level, because we'd probably win the league if we did. So I'm thinking more, you know, Bournemouth than Chelsea. Those games are vitally important as well for the top four. So while I'm not trying to look further beyond this game, I'm just saying that's where my concern would be for this game. I'm okay. I think we'll be fine in terms of reacting after Arsenal, because there can be a hangover if you lose a game, and if you win a big game like we did against Arsenal. But I think the players' mentality will now be, we've got so much momentum, we have to use this as, you know, kind of convert it into energy almost to win or progress in that match. Because the players will know that, well, if they don't go through, Europe's done this season. And what that'll come like crashing down on us, I think. You know, cause everyone's thinking, oh, you know, semi-final, Athens, all this stuff. And that is there because we are the favourites. And to go out on Thursday night after Arsenal, it would be a massive... It'd be like bursting a balloon, you know. So, yeah, I'm confident that we'll use the momentum that we have in the right way. But, yeah, to answer the question about Lille, that is a big boost for them, I don't doubt. But Fonseca said in his press conference at Villa Park that I went to on Wednesday night last week that actually Villa do this, or have been doing this a lot this season. Lille have as well, but they've also had games where they haven't been playing. But we're used to this schedule, as is, of course, Emery, has been in the European competition for 16 years now. So I don't really have any concerns about that from our point of view.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's interesting that you mentioned kind of the momentum and the push and the effort for this upcoming, you know, week or so, I suppose, of Lille, Bournemouth and Chelsea, which obviously we'll speak in a second about like team selection and whatnot. But when we did the preview for the first leg, you had a semi-rotated side for various reasons. It wasn't the case. We went full strength pretty much against Lille in the first leg, and the same for Arsenal. Yeah. You're right about if we are to go out Thursday, that would feel like a massive disappointment, and you would worry. I don't want to kind of like do what people do and go, oh, we've lost there. That means we're going to go on a terrible run, because that's not necessarily true. But if you were to lose against Lille, you would think, if we then lose Bournemouth and draw to Chelsea and then lose here, and you kind of go, oh, but then what if the season blows up? That is a possibility because of that kind of hangover of disappointment. So is it the case to say that you go hell for leather, you kind of forget after Chelsea, you forget Brighton, Liverpool and Palace in a potential semi-final, and for Lille, Bournemouth and Chelsea, you go fully on it, full strength, to kind of build on this momentum of Lille and Arsenal, to go, right, forget about this kind of five-week period, let's focus on these 10 days, win all three games, and then we've got a semi-final that we can think about, and we'll probably have the top four, not secure, but in a very good place if we were to beat Bournemouth and Chelsea as well. So let's go mental for this 10-day period and then think about the rest afterwards.
Absolutely understand that. I just think that Chelsea game, I can imagine Emery just giving them 3 or 4 days of like recovery days at Bodymore, because I think this game, we have to field the strongest team, of course, and it's difficult. We could go to extra time, could go to penalties. Bournemouth, we can't make wholesale changes again, and I don't think he would. But then after that, you've got a week, which isn't a long time. That's just a normal week for someone or a team like Chelsea at the moment. But I can imagine them, Emery saying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of don't put your feet up. There'll be like recovery sessions, I'd imagine. And then Thursday, tactical Friday session again, because it's then a late kickoff on the Saturday. So I think there's a decent amount of time there, considering all the busy schedule that we've just gone through and are going through now. That feels like a long break, almost just a few days, just to relax a bit. And I think the players as well, mentally, they know that in, you know, what, 5-4 weeks, they can go on. Well, actually, I was about to say they can go on holiday. We might have a Conference League final, but that's something to look forward to, isn't it? But that's 2 weeks after the season ends. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, they can put everything into that, you said, and this is kind of like the final stretch now, really. And it'll be over like that. So it's not as if they're kind of putting themselves through hell to get over the line in the next 2 months. It's the space of a few weeks. And there'll be a strategy from the conditioning guys, the fitness people. They'll be talking with them about who's in the red zone, etc. But I wouldn't imagine wholesale changes between Thursday, which could be tomorrow if this video goes out tomorrow, on Wednesday, and then Bournemouth as well. Those two games, they're vitally important. Chelsea as well, but those games come as like a couple for me, like the Arsenal games did.
Let's do an 11 then, because we just said it kind of picks itself, but Colin asks, does Douglas Luiz start on Thursday? I swear, and I read that kind of thinking, well, yeah, obviously, but I suppose it's the don't change a winning team of Arsenal, but if there is to be a change, Douglas Luiz feels like the obvious player to come in, doesn't it?
Yeah, Luiz will come in. I'd put my house on it. Yeah, he'll start, I'm sure. I can imagine the same back four starting. I think they've started the last three games, if I'm not mistaken, including the Lille first leg, Brentford, Lille, then Arsenal, which would be Carlos, Pau, Konsa right back, Luka Dean left back, Martinez in goal. I think that will probably stay as it is. I know Cash is back now. I think Cash would probably come in for the Bournemouth game. The midfield too, I'd expect Tielemans to continue in there, and then Luiz will come in, and I think John McGinn will support Watkins, Rogers left, and Diaby. Sorry, Bailey, right. Then you've got Diaby, Zaniolo, Duran, all those guys on the bench to make an impact. For me, that's a very strong team and a team that will, that can for sure beat Lille or get a draw, whatever we need to progress.
Jay says, how does Lille's current home form compare to our current away form? I don't have the list of like their points in the league this year, but I've got obviously got ours. So yeah. On the Premier League website, you can check the league table, home and away. There was a stage where our away form wasn't very good. We're fourth in the away table with 28 points. Our away record has certainly improved, and you know that looks a lot better for Villa. I've skimmed Lille's results in all competitions and found that their last home defeat was the 26th of September.
They've only lost one game at home, and they've scored in every game for, I think it's nearly 40 matches or something at home. But, you know, you can kind of make 2 points there. One being, well, the opposition is weaker than a lot of the teams that play in the Premier League, but equally, and this is the positive point for them and the negative point for us, they have a mentality of they win home games and they don't lose them. And this is something that Legia had, for example, and that we came, you know, a crop of because of that. I think, you know, they had a former QPR player score against us. Is it Scholek? And I was thinking, how is this happening? We were conceding to this guy in the Championship. I know that sounds very disrespectful, but it balances itself out there, doesn't it? You know, we're a team going for Champions League and we lose to Legia, who lost 3-0 at home to Molde, was it? But it's because that game was everything for Legia. Yeah, and as I say, those players are used to winning on home territory and their crowd being behind them for literally every second of that match. And I don't know how ferocious Lille will be in terms of noise. I expect it to be very noisy, at least at the start. I think they've got 50,000 or so in the stadium. Ajax was, I don't know, noisy, but it wasn't anything like Legia. I expect Lille to be similar to Ajax in that regard. But yeah, in terms of the home form, we're going to a place that wins football matches. Do you know what I mean? This is something that Emery says sometimes, like, we've got to respect the opponent because they're used to winning. You know, if we go 1-0 up, well, they'll expect to win the game 2-1. That's just how it is. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. They're used to that. So, yeah, that's something that we're going to have to learn, or we are learning almost on the job in Europe at the moment. And those experiences we had from Legia have definitely helped, I think.
What's our score prediction for the very end? Let's get a couple of non-football points out of the way. I almost feel disrespectful of including this, so maybe we shouldn't. But Aston Villa update says, John, are the French still as rude as they were when I went to Disneyland? Have you had any encounters with the French yet?
My Uber driver was very nice.
Was he? Okay, good. Did you say hola as you got in the car?
I said hi, mate. Okay. I did say mercy when I got out of the car. Yeah, because I put in the wrong address. I was supposed to go to Audi. I was about to say a place called Audi. Audi's in England as well. Audi's not far from the ground because I'm staying close to the stadium. So I put in to go to Audi and he went a different way. And then I realised, oh, I've put in the wrong address. So I asked, can I get out of the car, basically? And he didn't quite understand me. But anyway, my second encounter when I was walking outside in the pouring rain to get a little video of the ground was with a man, and he was walking around and he stopped me and spoke French and I just said English. And he made like a sound effect. He wanted the metro, basically. And he was like, whoosh. Whoosh.
Oh, okay.
And I was,
what was he asking you that?
Well, he wanted to know where the metro was. I don't know. I presume he was local, but obviously he isn't. I don't know why he'd be walking around the stadium if he's French and he wants to know where the metro is. Don't know. That's my only interactions with French people so far.
So you're there quite early. What is the, obviously you got the Lille's press conference is tomorrow morning. This video will come out Tuesday, by the way. So Wednesday morning is Lille's press conference. Wednesday afternoon into evening will be Villa's. Obviously, you'll be going to both of those, but have you got any, you're not there to sightsee, but have you got any other plans just to have a bit of a wander around, take any of the culture in any museums or anything like that?
No, not really. To be honest, in all my European adventures, I've only been working. So
No.
Amsterdam for the Ajax game was, well, I was ill, so I couldn't do anything. But then Alkmaar, was it in Alkmaar? But Alkmaar was lovely. Really, really nice little town, I suppose it is. It's beautiful, so I really enjoyed that because I walked to the ground through Alkmaar, like town city and the town centre. Sorry, and that was really nice. And then our other ones, Legia was brilliant. Really enjoyed Legia, and those all. I didn't go to Mostar, so yeah, I haven't really done much sightseeing. But I've walked around, you know, taken it in a bit, but I haven't gone to any events or landmarks, I suppose.
It's always this. I don't know why. It might just be specifically because it's you. It's about food, John. And I know that you've got a bit of a reputation for, I don't want to say like being like a picky eater, but a picky eater that you will only have a couple of things? Like,
I mean, you're going there.
Basically, the questions that have been asked. Jim, first of all, says, what is John's meal plan for the next few days over there? You don't need to go specific for every meal for every day that you're there. I know that you've been to Aldi to get something today, but you said to me on WhatsApp that you've got to cook food and you can't where you are, so it's sandwiches and whatnot. John asks, have you had, or will you have, rather, any snails or frog legs, etc., French cuisine?
Yeah, I'd be down, but I don't know where to get that from.
Go down to reception and ask. Escargot is snails. You can have that one for free.
Right, okay. Time permitting, like I'm out and about tomorrow and then pressure on the night. I really got much time to... I'm not making excuses. Maybe on Thursday before the game I can try it, but then I don't want to put myself in a position where I, you know, where I'm uncomfortable, shall I say, during the game.
Yeah.
But no, I'd be down. I like to try different things. I'm not a picky eater, apart from other things, but I'm always willing to try new things. Like, what have I had so far? I bought a baguette rustique, it said.
Okay, French cuisine, baguette.
Yep, and some ham. And I got these, which are little salami things.
Okay. Oh, yeah, decent. John, I'm open to trying new things, Townley. Goes to France and buys ham and a baguette.
Okay, so you tell me, what would you do, Dan, if you were not stuck in a hotel room? If you were in a hotel room on a budget, should we say, what would you do and you can't cook? And there's no freezer, there's no nothing to put in a fridge.
I don't know. I'm not there. I'd maybe try like find a little cafe, a little bistro kind of thing. Not like a full-blown restaurant meal, but like a little snacky, you know, tapas in Spain, like a French equivalent of that, like just little bits. That not an option?
No, because it's not going to fill you up. I mean, this isn't going to fill me up either, but I'm going to eat all the ham and all the salami, and I've had a stick of bread. Like, you talk about tapas, I don't write tapas, so I don't see the point in it.
I'm just going to put a pin in that conversation. If you have a chance to get any frog's legs down here or any snails, film a little video and we'll put it out on the podcast somewhere, because I think that would be a nice experience to show. Because I can already see the comments on this will be like, come on, John, go and try new things. And why are you just sat having a ham baguette?
All right, 2 weeks ago I had chicken hearts. I've had pig's ears before. And
yeah, you told me about the chicken hearts.
Like, it's all, and it's really nice. It was Portuguese stuff. Like, that's fantastic. So I'm sure I'll be fine with frog legs, and I'd like to try them. So I might even make it my mission.
Okay, good. Yes, and that's the attitude I enjoy. We'll keep an eye on John's Twitter for frog leg updates. I've had frog legs. They're just like chicken. You'd actually really like them. It's like a chicken wing. As we say, John, we do not track the score predictions anyway, so this is all for a bit of fun as he gobs down on a bit of salami. For those that are listening, what do you think the score will be on Thursday night?
1-1. 1-1. Yeah. I think it'll be tight and not much to say, really. I think it'll be a very tight game. Absolutely, Villa can win. Lille, you know, if it's in the balance, they'll be pushing forward. I don't think at 1-1, sorry, Villa will be trying to dominate the ball. They will try and dominate the ball, but you know, they won't be pushing to score a winner, for example. But that's such a like perilous position to be in at the same time. It's going to be difficult, but I think we'll be okay.
I'm going to go 3-1 Villa. Based on absolutely nothing at all, and that would be an incredible result to go there and put on a show and score a lot of goals. I'm not really bothered how it comes about as long as we progress.
Who are your 5 penalty kick takers if we have to go down there? By the way, what I would say straight away is we have Emi Martinez, which is a massive advantage.
Yeah, so. he'll take the second one. let's forget about like, oh, what if they're not on the pitch and all that kind of stuff. Forget all that because that's irrelevant.
Yeah, because they'll be on the pitch. They're a good penalty kick taker.
Yeah, Douglas Luiz. Right away. Pau Torres can take a decent penalty. Okay. He'd probably be near the end.
Okay, oh, okay, right.
Oh, yeah, these aren't in order. That's not 1-2. I'm just thinking of five players.
I know he's not.
Yeah, Watkins would have to be in there. I know he's got a reputation for not being a great penalty taker, but I think he scored 3 out of 5, which is all right. Bailey, probably, I suppose, if he's on. Like any of the forward players could take one. John McGinn, I would take one.
I was going to say Tielemans
was the other.
I feel like if McGinn just ran at the ball and put his boot through it,
you wouldn't trust McGinn to belt it. Tielemans definitely. Luca Dean, possibly.
I think we've named the Watkins, Louise, Tielemans, and McGinn are my first four.
Okay,
I think Bailey, Luca Dean, Torres, as you say. I think there's you know, that's quite a good list, I suppose you'd say.
You're absolutely spot on to pick out Emi Martinez, though, because I just feel like if it takes us to like the sixth or seventh penalty taken, and it's all a bit nervy from our point of view in terms of scoring them, I would back Martinez to save a couple probably in a shootout, and that be what gets us through his saves rather than us scoring.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we would have to miss quite a few penalties to, you know, to go out, basically.
All right, let's hope it does not come to penalties. This was a mini preview, but we've been recording a fair while. So, John, thanks for your time. I know you've got work to do and things to crack on with, so thanks for sharing your time with us. Videos every day and podcasts every day on Carlton Blue at the moment, because it's mega busy and we want to be there to cover it all. So thank you for supporting us, and we'll see you tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and onwards. Cheers, John. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Bye-bye.